Sacramento has a new tag team in the midday. It's Styles and Watkins on Sactown Sports.
Slendest Ride. Chris loves this song. Every time.
I've been waiting for months.
Every
legitimate months.
He made us do it last time when the Magic came to town. Now the Kings are. And the Kings won, so maybe it was a good thing.
Kazam!
He loves it.
Do it free.
Mm-hmm.
Orlando Magic. Orlando Magic.
There you have
it. So good, man. Come on. Like, why he did not have to go this hard.
He did, though.
That's my thing is, like, you could have just commissioned a song and said, like, hey, man, we're just looking for something to play during pregame intros. Like,
right.
Just whatever you do, honestly, we're going to play. Mm-hmm. The Kings have done it before. They have random songs where people will mention deer. I think they had Wale make one. It's whatever. It's fine. They usually don't stick around. This man made an instant classic in the 90s. Like, this is the most 90s sounding thing ever, too. Like, I could just imagine this being played on, what was the Ahmad Rashad show? Inside Stuff.
Mm-hmm.
This is, like, peak 90s. I can, pink squiggly lines
right,
on the
right.
screen.
It reminds me of a Goofy movie.
Yes.
It could have been in a Goofy movie.
Oh, my God.
That's exactly where it could have been. And I've already said to you, they've changed the song, the intro song, for the lineups for the Kings a couple times this season.
Just get one of these, man. Just get one of these.
I don't like that.
Get a classic and it never goes old.
I do not like that. Also, something I didn't even know was a thing before we get into the preview. This is from broadcast Ben, reporter and anchor for DC News Now, since the Kings just lost to the Wizards. Washington, D.C.'s Attorney General will not permit the Wizards to move to Virginia. The Wizards must remain in D.C. until at least 2047. They were trying to leave.
Yeah, D.C. I had heard I had heard that they were trying to leave for a while. Obviously,
Virginia's
like
a bigger market than D.C.?
Or
they were still going to be called.
They were still going to be called the Washington Wizards. They would just play in Virginia. I haven't been out there. I think it's the Capital One Arena or something like that, but I think it is starting to get up there in age, and I think it was more just they were looking for a new stadium, and the Virginia one was probably the most cost-effective while still, like, allowing them to build something pretty state-of-the-art. Mm-hmm. I'd imagine it might be pretty difficult to get things built in D.C.
Hmm. Yeah.
I don't really know how that specific government system works, since, like, D.C. isn't technically its own, like, state. Like, I don't know how you would pass things. Literally ignorance. So
yeah.
I would just imagine it's a little tougher to build something that big in D.C.
Right. Well, they are going
to
be
in D.C. They're going to have to figure it out. Yeah.
They are going to be in D.C. up until
Real House of Cards.
Until at least 2047. But now we talk about the Orlando Magic.
That's right.
And yes, Chris is trying to convince everybody to play the song
again.
Yes,
I really wanted to.
The Orlando Magic have been absolutely rolling as of late. They are on a 5-game winning streak. Most recently, they beat the Pelicans, who they did lose Brandon Ingram, and we hope that Brandon Ingram gets well soon and heals up. But the Magic, they're a problem, and a lot of people remember the end of games, but they don't remember how things really transpired.
Yeah.
And I don't know how many people realize that Franz Wagner went out in the late first quarter.
Yeah.
He did not play.
Might have even been early.
And
first.
He's the second best player on the team.
Yes. Yes. 100%.
And they took the Kings to double overtime.
Yep.
They shot the lights out, but they took the Kings to double overtime without their second best player.
Yeah, and, I've not forgotten that. I did forget the nugget about them shooting ridiculously from three. I think they set, like, a season high that day. Might have even been a franchise record
They tied it or something like that.
Something crazy. So I guess, you know, you can maybe convince yourself that, hey, maybe if the Orlando Magic shoot more like how they typically shoot, which, if I had to guess, is somewhere near the bottom of the NBA, maybe the Kings get that result. But nonetheless, I mean, the fact that that game goes into double overtime without their second best player, you know, it's got me feeling a little bit nervous. It's got me feeling like Orlando has to feel like these Kings just keep sneaking by every time. You had the De'Aaron Fox half-court buzzer beater last year. You have a double overtime game where you lose your best or second-best player, and Paolo scores 43. Mm-hmm. You've got to feel like if you're the Orlando Magic, like you're just on the cusp of getting over this Kings hump, and it wouldn't surprise me if tonight Orlando does bring their A game. They are an incredible defense. They're number two in the NBA in defensive rating, so the Kings, A, better make sure they're on their defensive P's and Q's, but also makes me afraid about the shooting, man. I mean,
I'm worried.
To have the shots not fall like they haven't these past couple games, and then to be going in against an Orlando Magic team that already has ridiculous length, ridiculous size, and is going to disrupt them from the perimeter, they just have to be locked in. Like, you're going to have to hit tough shots. Forget the open ones. There's going to be a lot of contested threes, and with Paolo and Franz both being bigger guys who are going to play forward, the Kings' best two shooting options, Keegan Murray and HB, are going to be guarded by those guys. So, like I said, I would not expect a lot of open looks, probably a lot of tough contested threes that they're just going to have to make, man. They just are.
Chris, I gotta say some numbers that aren't going to make you feel good.
Oh, gosh.
This is the last time the Kings faced the Orlando Magic. Okay. I initially said it felt like that Franz Wagner went out towards the end of the first quarter.
Yeah.
Franz Wagner played 5 minutes.
Yeah.
In that 5 minutes, he was 2 for 4, including a three-pointer. Mm. He had 6 points in 5 minutes. He had 2 rebounds already and an assist in 5 minutes of play.
No, he is, you know, Paolo kind of had to go a lot more iso ball because Franz is the guy that usually sets things up for him. Mm-hmm. And he is the Sabonis to Fox of them, where, you know, Franz arguably could be the more valuable player. Maybe Paolo's more skilled, more individually talented, but Franz is the thing that makes that team go. And so, you know, it's kind of, you almost have to take that game that the Kings won with a grain of salt. It's a tough test, man. It's a really, really tough test. This is almost equivalent to that of playing the Pelicans, I think, just with their length and what the Magic pride themselves on is the defensive end. Kings are just going to have to bring it, man. There's no other way of putting it. They have to play exactly how they played during that little five-game stretch that we were just fantasizing over a couple days ago. They've got to bring the defense, but the offense, it cannot be at the expense of offense. You have to still be able to play on both sides of the floor, and you're not going to be able to give them a leash, man, because if Orlando gets up 10, it probably isn't going to be like everybody else where, oh, okay, it's fine, it's a game of runs. You're going to want to keep that game close as long as you can if you're not going to have the lead.
They shot 56% from three.
Woo!
Jalen Suggs had 24 points.
Oh, man.
Paolo Banchero had 43 points. This is something else, man. Caleb Houston had 15 points, and you're gonna have to show up. I'll be honest with you, Chris. I'll be vulnerable here on these airwaves just because it's just me and you.
Yep.
I think this could get ugly.
It could.
I think this could get ugly. I know the Kings have shown up in bigger games, but I don't like how they played yesterday. Yep. I really don't like how they finished against the Grizzlies. I know they played well against the Raptors, but I don't like how they finished against the Grizzlies. I'm not trying to say this whole thing was fool's gold because I do think I would like to be very wrong, to be enjoying myself. Tomorrow night, my birthday celebration continues.
Right. Yeah.
And I would like to be completely wrong and say, man, I whiffed on that, but I don't feel great. I do not feel great.
I agree. I also don't feel great. I think that Orlando presents a lot of problems that I don't know the Kings have solutions for. I'm not saying it's impossible, but the Kings are going to have to win the guard advantage that they have in that game. I mean, Orlando has a ton of guards. You mentioned Jalen Suggs. They've got Markelle Fultz in the wings. They've got tons of guards that they can throw out there. Anthony Black's been somebody who's come on for them as of late. Mm-hmm. But De'Aaron Fox has to be, like, I know he was trying to be the other day and the shots just didn't fall.
Gary Harris,
man. Mm-hmm. De'Aaron has to be the best player on the floor. Sabonis got to dominate his matchup. He's got Wendell Carter, I would assume, on him. Wendell Carter is not Rashawn Holmes. He's not any of those big centers that usually give Sabonis issues. He's got to dominate his matchup there. And you know, you do have to hope a little bit for the rest. I mean, you've got to hope that Keegan and HB can slow down the Magic's forwards, and you got to hope that the Magic's forwards' length doesn't bother Keegan and HB too much, because realistically, if those two aren't hitting their shots, but most importantly their threes, I don't know who will on this team. I mean, you're relying a lot on Malik. You're relying a lot on Duarte then to be the guys who are pouring it on. And, you know, we saw that last game. They're not going to have it from the perimeter every game. So I'm right there with you. I'm nervous about this one. I was shocked when Dave told us this morning that the Kings are somehow favored in this game by a point and a half.
I don't like that at all.
Yeah, that makes me feel even worse, as a matter of fact.
You know who you're going to need? Sasha Vazenko! You're definitely going to need...
Mr. Vazenko.
You're going to need Sasha, and if you don't have him... Yeah, and what a crazy world we live in. You talk about Kevin Huerter, who offensively had been fairly cold, mm-hmm. right, throughout the duration of the season. He's had his moments. Yeah. I know during one of the roundtables, Frankie said, if you actually look at it, he's been shooting the ball pretty well. It just hasn't been a lot of points yeah. accumulated.
Yeah, not been on high volume.
You lose Kevin Huerter, and I don't think those two things are completely connected, but I don't think those two things are also disconnected. But an offensive team now, we're sitting here worried about...
the offense.
The offense.
That's right. Yeah.
The offense.
Yeah, and I don't know how to feel about it. Like, part of me says that's the one thing that we just shouldn't be, because we just know even if they have a couple bad games, they're going to turn it around. But, again, it does make me question how much of the offense is it actually because of a result of how hard they're playing on the defensive end, mm-hmm. which is something we've seen all year, or at least at the beginning of the year. I'm not sure, man, because I Brendan says it all the time, but like ultimately, like you just put there, the Kings are an offensive team. And if their offense isn't clicking, then they're not going to be the team that they're built to be, and they're not going to go anywhere. Mm-hmm. So if the offense isn't clicking at the end of the day, they're probably not going far in the playoffs. That's kind of what happened last year. In the playoffs against the Warriors, we can talk about Sabonis getting out-rebounded. We can talk about this and that. But at the end of the day, Kevin Huerter, HB, and Keegan for three games couldn't hit a shot. Mm-hmm. And their offense did not look how it looked all season long, with the exception of, I believe, game four was really the only game where that looked like the Kings' offense of all year. The offense is starting to be concerning, but I'm just not there yet on being full panic mode on the offense, but it's definitely on my radar for sure.
Saturday's huge.
Yeah, yeah.
Saturday is huge. When we return, Brandon Ayuk has some things to say to an NFL coach, and Debo complaining again. Also, the Giants announce what they will be doing since they have moved on from Rennell. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports. This is a fun one from the 707. Shout out to 707. Hey, Alan. Now that you've been a member of both camps, how would you say the Kings organization and fan base compare to the Warriors?
That's a great question.
That is a great question, 707, but I'm not doing that now.
Okay. Yeah, you're right.
We're definitely Smart. Doing that in the summer.
Smart.
What I will say, I've never really thought about it before, to be honest with you. The difference, I guess, from a listener standpoint, I think that listeners with the Kings, just dealing with everything that they've dealt with the last 16 years, the feeling is a bit different. When I was in the Bay, that was during their run. So the expectations were ridiculously high.
That's true, too.
So a game like last night, the phone is off the hook just with people freaking out.
Right.
There's less, and there's a text right after that text that illustrates what I'm saying.
Yeah.
That's anger because we're wasting Steph. We're wasting the core.
KD's
right?
gonna get mad.
Yeah. Yes, exactly.
He's gonna leave.
Here, it's just I'm afraid to get hurt, so I don't really have that high of expectations.
Right.
We've seen that on the Sac Chat. Yeah. And literally the next text from the 530, I don't even want to watch the game. I don't want to be upset or disappointed once again.
There you have it.
That's it. That's the biggest difference for me. There's less anger with the team, because I do think there's a good bit of the fan base that's happy to be competing again, even if it's in a play-in, right? To just have that atmosphere. So we'll get into that more in the summer, but And if you look, and I'll do the thing. Sacramento knows way more ball. Kings fans, they know way more ball.
That's all you had to say.
They know way more ball than out there in the Bay. They just know Steph Curry and the Splash Bros. That's all they know. And Draymond, it wasn't his fault. This happened or that happened.
Where else is he supposed to put his foot?
Yeah, we would have won even without KD. Light the beam. Light it.
Come on, Draymond.
Come on, Draymond. So, great question, 707. I will answer that in depth. We'll have plenty of time to answer it in the summer. But hopefully it's late in the summer, which means that the Kings have been playing for a very, very long time. Taking a quick break from the Kings to talk some Giants and Niners. Giants announced, this is interesting, you talk about cost cutting. Giants announced that they will rotate PA announcers.
You and me? We going to get a shot?
I mean, can I sign up?
You know?
Can I get in here? They will rotate PA announcers. With Rennell now, I guess they are not going to bring back Rennell, at least not right now.
Yeah.
And somebody...
Maybe after the tryouts.
After the tryouts. Somebody had a really great tweet. They said, so you're telling me the Giants are now platooning PA announcers as well as players.
Are they going to have openers?
Yes, openers. Yeah. Someone's going to start the name.
You do the first three innings. Yeah.
You do the first name, I do the last name. Now up, Austin... Slater, somebody else says it. So, yeah, that's what
they're just
going to
do the Keegan Murray thing. They're going to play it off like we heard Sacramento. Yeah. Keegan, no, Austin. And just wait for the crowd to say
Slater. I think my mom said that they went to, this is going to be a random stray here, but my mom and my dad went to a Chaka Khan concert.
Okay.
Right? And basically... They didn't know. It got to the point where she kept saying, sing it, sing it. And they got to the point where they honestly thought that she forgot the words. Because they're like, we kind of did pay for you to sing.
To sing.
It gets to a point where, all right, Chaka, we kind of wanted you to sing. That's what we paid for. That's what the Giants are going to be at. They're going to try to flip it and say, you tell us who's up next.
Exactly.
Come on, Giants fans. So Giants, they will be rotating. Yeah. PA announcers.
You see the LED lights, too?
I saw that. Yeah. I saw that. So I will say, Camilo Doval, coming out to those lights, throwing that cheddar cheese.
Sign me up for that. Too.
Sign me up for that all day long. I hope we can get some of that in Sacramento as well.
Yeah,
I'm going to be at plenty of the games for the Rivercats. I'll be at the game this Sunday, actually, when the Rivercats take on the Giants. Me and Franco Cardo will be there figuring out what is going on with the Gigantes. I've been waiting to get to this Brandon Ayuk and Deebo Samuel stuff. So Brandon Ayuk, and the reason I've been waiting to do it, to get to it, is because if you listen to this show, you know that there is a laundry list of people that I get told that I resemble.
Yes.
Okay? And the list grows on and on.
Sure does.
I don't have to say what these people look like, but you can probably imagine there is a prototype or there is an archetype that I tend to, hey, you kind of look like that other guy with a beard and that similar length of hair and so on and so forth. So this whole thing came out that Brandon Ayuk looks like Mike Tomlin with hair.
Yes.
Or vice versa.
Right.
Mike Tomlin looks like Brandon Ayuk bald.
Yeah.
Do you think they resemble?
I didn't until I saw the Photoshop. The Photoshop made me convinced. Because I think in the Photoshop, they do both, if I'm not mistaken. They put the locks on Tomlin, and then they shave Ayuk's head.
Right, right.
And I think the shaved Ayuk head is the one that really convinced me that, okay, there might actually be something
eyes.
There.
It's the eyes.
It could be, I think it could be, yeah. They do have a little bit of, like, the squinted eyes a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And, they do have a little bit of the same, like, facial texture almost, too. So there's something there for sure.
We're all part of the same
miracle.
That's
right. Thank you, Vin.
That's right. Then Ayuk tweets at Tomlin, okay, and says, hey, at Coach Tomlin, they're saying – we look alike. What's all that about? And I don't think Tomlin responded. But on top of that, Chase Senior and other Niners content creators and Niners media have reported that the Steelers are actually interested in Brandon Ayuk.
Oh.
So this whole thing has kind of taken a turn because that came out, and then Ayuk is tweeting at Tomlin. He's already, you know, his significant other was talking about this might be our last time in Santa Clara and this, that, the third. It's just a mess with these wide receivers.
Yeah, who would have figured that receivers would just be so dramatic and cause so many issues? I mean, like, you know, it is kind of baked into the position almost, but this is a little bit excessive. It feels like both receivers are both complaining, and it's like, we did just go to the Super Bowl last year, mm-hmm. guys. Like, the grass is not greener on the other side, I promise you. So, it is feeling, at least feel-wise, if you know, at this point in the offseason, it's starting to feel like I don't know if both of them will be back. The Niners obviously want them both back. It's definitely best for the Niners to have them both back, and not only that, but re-up Ayuk. But with how they're acting right now, it seems like they're almost trying to have a competition of who can get pushed out first.
Yeah, and we'll get to Debo's tweet in a second. Let's get to Steven. We're up against it. But Steven, we always got time for you. Steven, I've eaten one oatmeal raisin cookie so far. I still have another one waiting for me. I still have the birthday cake cookie. And I'll tell you what, Steven, we got to shame him here on the air. So I got to let you know this, okay. Steven. So the cookies get delivered to me, right, during a break.
Okay.
They get delivered to me during the break. Nate is literally following Simone with a napkin. And get this, Steven, it gets worse. The one chocolate chip cookie, that man was going to take it. I said, what are you doing, Nate? Well, hey, man, can I at least look at the cookies first? It was such poor form. Steven, what is wrong with your guy?
I don't know. I have no words. I have no words for such actions. Mm-hmm. I cannot confirm nor deny that his actions were selfish. So Nate, if you're listening, shame on you, buddy.
Thank you. Thank you, Steven.
You.
Thank you again for the cookies. What you got for us?
No, you're so very welcome, man. I hope you enjoyed it, man. I really appreciate you shouting me out, but that really wasn't all about it, man. It was your birthday, man. I like you. I respect you, man. You're really cool people, man. So that's me saying welcome to SAC, my guy.
Thank you.
Shoot. Kings, man. I got on just before you guys switched over to the Niners. Mm-hmm. I have never felt more I'm not mad. I'm just disappointed. Mm-hmm. You know, I've never felt that way more times this year than I don't know, 16 years. I'm sure we can collect a few, but man, this year's been rough. And last night was, I can't find any excuses in it. I can't find any excuses in the way that these guys performed last night. It was just, these guys were cold. There was no backup plan. It felt like it was just, we're going to keep running the same thing and hopefully these guys can shoot themselves out of it. But man, these early timeouts, I mean, we got to find somewhere to where it's like Mike Brown should not be so emotionally charged to call a quick timeout. You know, there was a discussion about finding that middle ground between, you know, calling that quick timeout and doing something like Phil Jackson did, where he just never called a timeout. Right. You guys are professionals. Yeah. Figure this out.
Exactly.
So I feel like there should be a little bit of a thing between that. Thank you, guys.
Thanks,
Steven.
Thanks as always. Have a good weekend. Yeah. There's nothing. There's nothing that we can really explain it. But you have Steven saying, don't call the quick timeouts. Then last night I saw people saying, how do you go 5 minutes coming out of the third without calling a timeout? He waited too long. So at the end of the day, you're a team with championship aspirations. Doesn't matter when the timeout gets called, in my opinion. Nope. You got to figure it out. When we return Debo, he's complaining. Also, we have dog segment, and if we can find some props, we'll find them. Game's tomorrow, so it's a little bit tough. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports. From the 916, my mental health doesn't benefit from being a Kings fan. The losses to bad teams feel worse than wins to good teams feel good. That's sad.
I mean, that's what sports is, though, too. Yeah. It's like you lose way more than you win, and then you finally win, and you think it's going to be everything. And it is. It's really great. But then the next season starts, and it's right back to square one. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I mean, you know. It's tough, but that's the life that we all signed up for. Not going to win everything.
From the 209, hey, do you remember how we couldn't score in the playoffs last year?
Yes.
In the offseason, we got Duarte and Vezenkov, who was supposed to help our offense. Coach Brown, proving through recent statements, thinks our offense isn't a problem, but he is always saying how we couldn't buy a bucket well during the play-in, and we're going to need some scoring and, of course, help on offensive rebounds. So if Coach Brown doesn't think there's a problem, how are you going to fix it?
I'm going to have to reread that one myself.
It was a lot that came in. I tried to do my best, 209. Sometimes they come in a little
segmented out.
It sounds like 209 is saying maybe we did need more offense.
I don't think so. I definitely don't think so. I mean, I feel like, if anything, this team has way too many offensive-minded players, and we talked about that when we talked about the Mike Malone comment, right, mm-hmm. where Mike Malone is talking about come playoff time, more so deep in the playoffs, you can't have one-dimensional guys. And we can go down the list, but the list of guys that the Kings have that are one-dimensional on the offensive side greatly outweigh, the only two people, I guess you could really say, that are defensive-minded players and really anything on offense is a plus is Davion and Keon, and that's really it.
That's pretty much it. The bottom line is that if you have offensive players that continue to go cold at the worst times, then maybe it's tough to say that you don't have enough offense, but maybe you just need different offensive players. Mm-hmm. Frankie Cardicelli, our Sacktown Sports Kings insider, love this one. Yankees every season have one of the top-ranked offenses.
Yeah.
Then they get to the playoffs and forget how to hit a curveball.
Right.
How do you improve? You have a good offense. They just keep stinking.
Kings had the best offense in NBA history last year.
They keep stinking when you can't stink.
Yeah.
Does that mean they don't have a good offense? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. Or does it mean that the guys
the lights
that
they were
have,
too bright?
Exactly.
Shout out Baby Styles.
Exactly.
In the baby race.
Maybe the guys just, they don't have enough, we do the dog segment, we're about to do it, but maybe they don't have enough guys who got that dog in them, truly, where it's like, lights are brightest, you have to perform today. Some people can't play with that level of expectation.
They got tight last night.
This is how the Kings have been playing, is that little
They got little tight last night. Snarl. They knew.
They got tight against the worst team in the NBA.
Once the Wizards say, I dare you to shoot,
Same thing happened with the Grizzlies.
They're going to get clowned, and they're getting clowned, okay? They can't get clowned too much because teams are still thinking, depends on what Kings team. Whoever the Kings get in the play-in or
Good
the
luck
first playoff series is going to be so confused thinking, I don't know what to do with this team. I have no clue what to do with this team. Before we get to dog segment, I just had to bring this up because
Please. –
This is from Deebo Samuel. Can we, and I don't even really know what he's referring. This is from Deebo. Can we have a life when football season over? Like, can we travel, enjoy ourselves, go out and have fun without you fans saying all this unnecessary bleep? Folks be bugging. You can, Deebo. You can. This is the same Deebo who's in the Netflix special. What are we talking about?
Right.
You don't.
You get a whole off
just
season,
just
man.
Turn your phone off.
Yeah,
turn your phone off.
Yeah, go to the Bahamas. Do something, man. Like
Deebo,
you have a whole off season.
You have a whole do it.
Football doesn't start until September,
the
brother.
The answer is yes. You can.
Yes, you can.
You definitely can. Just don't do it.
Yes,
you're on the Netflix special.
Yep.
You're on Kay Adams.
Yep.
You're actively being in the public eye.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you really? Because Deebo, it seems
this isn't helping either.
No,
I'll tell you that.
Deebo, it sounds like you want to be talked about.
Yeah.
Because if you didn't want to be talked about, you wouldn't say anything.
Exactly.
You would just go to wherever it is you want to go, to Hawaii.
Right.
Go to Puerto Rico.
Right.
Go to wherever you want to go, buddy.
Yep. Just have a good time.
Just
enjoy.
Have a good time.
Just get off your phone, like you said.
Go to Jamaica, buddy.
It's not hard. No one's gonna talk to you about the Super Bowl in Antigua.
I love Deebo on the field, but man, that guy complains.
Yeah.
All the time.
All
he does is complain. Let's get the dog segment.
That's a receiver for you.
It is time. Definitely going to hear him complain on Netflix.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. I can't wait for that to come out.
It's going to be
good. There's going to be a lot of good moments.
It's going to
be
good.
They got two Niners in there, too. It'll be interesting.
That's right.
It'll be interesting how that goes.
Mm-hmm.
All right. You don't hear anything from Davante Adams. just in general.
Yeah.
He's a quiet guy.
He is a quiet guy.
It's easy to not be talked about. You just have to not be in the public light like that.
Let's start with who's ready.
It's a great question.
Who's ready? Simone looks ready to go for dog segment. Simone, what you got for tomorrow's game against the Magic?
I'm gonna
That dog is not happy.
A little
happy.
Tiny one.
That dog is not happy.
I'm gonna let the soundboard speak for me here. I know I've missed a lot of this week, and you guys have had a fabulous, fun week
doing
this program here. And I'm gonna go with.
In nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti.
Yes. Yes.
Mr. Monk.
Coming off that, leaving the game
exactly.
early. That's actually
the
a great.
He's still going to be there. I think he's going to be off the porch and biting ankles.
That is a great call. That is a great call right there.
And he
there.
Played so well last time they played Orlando.
Yeah, he did. He did. I actually had what the Magic did
he had
last
37.
Time. 37.
7 of 13 from 3. 9 assists, too.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That was a game. Flat state.
Yeah, that was a game where, let's see here. Oh, Kevin Huerter came off the bench that game. I was like, Kevin Huerter didn't even play that game. That was a game that Chris Duarte started. So,
and why did that end? Chris Duarte played 10 minutes. He had one assist, 3 personal fouls, and no points.
Yep. Yep.
Wow.
Yep. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see if Sasha plays in this one. Looking at this box score, Trey Lyles had a pretty good game last time they played. He was 4-6, had 10 points. They'll probably miss that production.
JaVale had 5.
I'm going to go with Keegan. We went with Keegan last game.
You're really trying to will this.
Well, it looked good. It looked so good. Literally, Keegan had those 8 points in the first quarter, and I was like, me and Allen did it. I want some sort of credit for this. And then it just stopped. The faucet turned off. And I would like to believe, I set it all up. Keegan's got really tough matchup on both sides of the ball with Paolo or Franz, whoever he's going to be matched up with. I would have to imagine that in that film session that they just had, Keegan got near full. I hope that he internalized it and will then show that he learned a valuable lesson, and that is sometimes you got to be the aggressor.
Yeah, this is a tough one. I'm actually gonna rock with HB with Harrison Barnes. I think that Harrison. Whenever you don't expect anything from Harrison, that's when he shows up. And whenever you've kind of written him off, Simone's laughing behind the glass. Whenever he's been written off, that is when he shows up. And I think Harrison Barnes and that slow-mo, he cracks me up every
it's
time
so
with
funny.
That slow-mo drive.
It's so funny.
And now, they're all doing
yes,
it now.
Keegan's doing it they're a lot now. Yeah.
They're all doing it. I'm like, I guess it's nice to have in the repertoire.
Yeah.
So there you go. There are our 3 dogs. Let's see what the sack chat and the text line is saying for your dog. Somebody says Kessler Edwards. Brandon Deitzman says
that's
Kessler
a Nate
Edwards
that's a Nate
for Nate. His dog. Yeah. Here you go. Want to make sure we get to this last text before we get to closeouts and shoutouts. I know ultimately it comes down to the players on the court, but at some point, Coach Brown has to take some heat for how this team has performed at times this season. Too many times, this team plays down to inferior competition, blows big leads, or just flat out lays an egg. Coaching staff are the ones preparing the team mentally and physically and drawing up game plans for these games. Sorry for venting, LOL. 209, we will respond to that when we get back. Also, it's Friday, so it means it's time for shoutouts and closeouts. Get your shoutouts ready. Anything you want to close out for the week, but get them ready. You want to shout out your dog if it sounds like that dog we were just playing. If you want to shout out somebody that made you a nice coffee, whoever you want to shout out, that's coming up next. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports. Shout outs and closeouts. Get them in 916-339-1140. 916-339-1140. You want to shout somebody out going into the weekend on a feel-good Friday before the rain comes in. Shout out to all the winners. This week, Hannibal Buress tickets. Enjoy yourselves tonight. Not too much. but enjoy yourself.
I'm going to go to that show.
You're going tonight.
Yes, I love Hannibal.
There you go. There you go.
Big Broad City fan.
Go say hello to Simone.
Oh my God, he's
Simone will be in the building. Go say hello. She loves that. She'll do photos. Yeah. Simone will do photos and availability.
Of course, please.
Right after Hannibal. First, and then Simone's the main act.
There you go. We'll get your shout outs and close outs ready. You know the line, 916-339-1140 on the Sack Chat as well, and we will read them off. Before we respond to what we got from the 209, let's hear from Tin, who wants to be a part of the conversation. What's up, Tin? What you got for us?
Hey, shout out to Wiz Khalifa. When Sacramento is doing good, Sabonis gets name dropped. You know, Sabonis, Sacramento, they get referenced in Wiz Khalifa's new song.
What?
A couple other people. Yeah, look it up, guys. It's on Spotify. I was so happy when I heard it because I was just recently at the Wiz Khalifa concert in Irvine a couple months ago. So I was like, what? Sabonis Sacramento, like the beat.
That's what's up.
Oh, I'm going to have to find that.
That is what's up. Thanks, Tin, for that. That is good stuff. Starting the shout-outs and closeouts.
That's a great shout-out.
Early.
That is starting it early,
but line them up, and you can shout out whoever to a friend or family member that is listening, or significant other as well. So, Chris, I saw you making some facial expressions as we read the text off. I mean, you're a Mike Brown guy. You like Mike Brown.
And what a crime.
I'm not a Mike Brown guy, but I could tell from when we started doing shows together that You really like Mike Brown, and why wouldn't you?
Right.
He's brought you somewhere that you have not been in a very, very long time.
I've also seen some really bad coaches, and I know what it looks like when the Kings don't have a good coach and what it looks like when they have a coach who has their ear. And I've truly not seen a team or a coach have a team's ear the way that Mike Brown has, at least here in Sacramento. I've not seen the amount of respect, which is something we talked about earlier, but just – the belief in somebody in the same way that these guys truly do believe they are all pulling on the same string. They really do believe in Mike Brown to the fullest extent. And, you know, I'm right there with him. I just think a lot of the things that people talk about, you can go ahead and read the text over again, but a lot of the things mentioned in there, like the players' inconsistency and things like that, I just don't see how the players losing leads and the energy of the players is Mike Brown's fault. Like, at some point, the players have to be in charge of some of that stuff. Mike Brown can put them in a position to win. He can game plan. And this is another thing that's mentioned in that text, the game plans. Mike Brown draws up these game plans, and how many times have we heard, not just from Mike Brown, but from Domantas Sabonis, from De'Aaron Fox, from others on the team post-game, immediately say, yeah, you know, we just didn't execute the game plan there. So, how is that Mike Brown's fault that he draws something up? I can lead you to water. I can't tell you to drink. Mm-hmm. And that's a lot of the time when I feel like goes on is Mike Brown tells these guys, hey, you know, we got these hot shooters that we're going to focus in on. Don't let them get open. We're not trying to give up any middle drives. Those are really their base core principles on defense. Whether or not those guys decide to pay attention to those scouting reports or actually go and execute them is a completely different thing. I think that people, it's easy to blame the coach for a lot of things. Mm-hmm. I think when you really look at the situation sometimes and try and hold everybody accountable, I think more times than not, it ends up falling on the players.
Let's use yesterday as an example.
Yeah.
Let's use yesterday as an example. The game plan comes out, hey guys, you're going to defend us this way. We're going to get a ton of open looks if they defend us this way. They got a ton of open looks. They missed said open
ton
looks.
Ton of open looks.
Hey guys, we got Kyle Kuzma. We know we got to deal with him. We got to deal with Jordan Poole.
Yep.
We got to make sure we take care of business. Jordan Poole didn't really do too much. He was missing some bad shots. That's just an evergreen statement with Jordan Poole. Kyle Kuzma, okay. Keegan, can you handle Kyle? You're really the guy that we have to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Keegan can handle him. Okay, Keon, we haven't really seen you against a lot of different wings. Can you handle him? Keon can handle him. They didn't have that ingredient.
Yeah, exactly.
They just didn't have that ingredient to cook with.
They didn't have an answer. And he was searching. He was like, I would be more upset if Mike Brown is just letting Kyle Kuzma cook him and they're not doing anything. But he literally went to Kessler Edwards, who he has not gone to all season long, and he was like, I'm looking for an answer. I think Kessler can be an answer. And you know what happened? Kessler was a pretty good answer.
Yeah.
The Kings' best stretch of basketball happened because Mike Brown decided to say, you know what, I usually don't do this, but this feels like the right time to do it. And it worked out for that 21-2 run.
If anybody could make a shot we'd be saying, wow, Mike Brown changed the momentum with Kessler Edwards.
Completely.
And flipped the whole game. But because everybody was a brick, nobody is talking about that move that Coach Mike Brown made. Let's hear from Steve, wants to be a part of the conversation. What's up, Steve? What you got for us?
Oh, so just real quick, I'm really want to get y'all's opinion. I'm not a big Kevin Huerter fan because he's so inconsistent. Mm-hmm. So it's horrible that he got hurt, but at the same time, I'm like, in a kind of way, cool, because we can get those guys off the bench, and I feel like they're more athletic. So, and I want to get your opinion on that. And then the second thing I'd like to get your opinion on, and this is more for next year, or next season. If Domas, he holds the ball so long, and he's wide open, he won't even shoot because he's so busy trying to pass the ball. And sometimes he passes it, and you know, it's a turnover. But imagine if that guy could just do a mid-range shot. And if he took more shots and hit them more often, that would open up the people around him so that there'd be better shots for everybody else. And I'm taking off the line, and what do y'all think about that?
Thanks for the call, Steve. Yeah. Both great questions. We have about 3 minutes left in the show. So quickly, I will say Domas, he has been shooting the mid-range more.
Yeah.
And I think he still could shoot it more, but that's just something that we're going to continue to have a conversation about. As far as Kevin Huerter, you're right on, but there's some things that you are missing with Kevin Huerter. You would like to think Kevin Huerter would have been able to make something yesterday with those wide-open shots. And, yeah, Duarte's more athletic, and some of these guys are more athletic. I think we'll know more on Saturday.
Yeah.
We will know more on Saturday. But, yeah, that's why we had conversations mm-hmm. about Kevin Huerter being benched prior to him being injured. Right. All right, 1 minute, Simone. Let's get those shout-outs in. I have them. There you go. That's how you got to end it.
There you go.
That's how you got to end it, Simone.
What a week, man. I want to shout out this show, as we've been saying all week, the fastest growing show in the area, maybe even in the world, who knows. Those numbers are still coming in. But this has just been a great week of the show, man. We had Alan's birthday this mm-hmm. week. We had finding this song from Malik Monk, I thought was a big moment. It's just been a great, great week for the brand here.
Yes, great week for the brand. Quickly, I'm going to shout out all my fellow March babies. It's just a great time to have a birthday. March Madness, baseball starting, basketball is actually hot to trot right now. I know no football, but the draft is coming. Shout out all my March babies, Pisces and Aries. We don't discriminate. Nice. Simone?
My brother and his bride-to-be are going to be getting engaged this weekend, and I can say that because already out there.
There you go.
I was so confused. Interesting. I was like, wait a second, Simone.
No, they're doing a very traditional Ghanaian ceremony where my mom actually has to go over to Atlanta, ask for the hand in marriage. It's a whole thing.
Wow.
So shout out to them. And also shout out to people who write birthday emails for ungrateful coworkers.
Okay, here we go. Shout out to Steven as well with the cookies. The 209. Shout out to my son's basketball team, Jimmy 510. Yes. Shout out to my niece's dance team competing this weekend.
Wow.
916. Shout out to Mr. Pickles. I eat there way too much. From another 916. Shout out to the River Cats. I'm going to the game this weekend. I will be there as well. And shout out from the 209. Shout out to Oakland. I'm the only one that had them picked in my bracket. There you go. Enjoy March Madness. Great week, everyone. Hopefully Kings get a beam tomorrow, a Disney World beam in Florida, in Orlando. Until Monday, secure the bag, light the beam. The Drive guys are next.